following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College.
Wings up, Eagle Nation! Touchdown, Georgia Southern!
This is Inside Eagle Nation, your all-access look into Eagle athletics.
Taking a look through all the other action in Georgia Southern athletics this past week. A lot of road action. A lot of teams hitting the old I-16 out of town.
Getting on the steel horse and taking us to parts north, south, west, wherever. Can't really go too much farther east.
Now let's return to the Learfield IMG College studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
That's a fact, Jack.
Welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation here from J.I. Clements Stadium as we get set for Georgia Southern baseball coming up tonight from SRP Park in North Augusta, South Carolina. Georgia Southern takes on the Clemson Tigers in a midweek matchup with the ACC foe. But first and foremost, Colin Lacey alongside the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Back and ready to roll once again. Well, thankfully, we'll get to go on the road again. Haven't been to SRP Park yet. I know you've been there a couple times.
This is your first trip to SRP.
You've seen a couple of Green Jackets games.
Went up in 2018, the first year the ballpark was open, when Logan Baldwin, former Georgia Southern Eagle, was in Augusta with the San Francisco organization. Then this past year, well, I guess not this past year, the last year they had a season, 2019, Glenn Ingram and I over the summer made a good number of trips up there. Good buddy Cullen Holt was the voice of the Green Jackets at the time. He was nice enough to let us come hang out a couple of times. Glenn took pictures, and it was we joked that it was kind of our second home that summer.
Missed the game last year because of basketball when Georgia Southern beat Georgia 1-0. And then the fall before, these two teams actually met in what the NCAA allows to happen. Now, you could play up to two games that do not count towards your spring, but these two actually met in it's not a non-sanctioned game, more of an exhibition than anything else, and they met up there a couple of years ago during the fall.
We'll dive into everything Georgia Southern baseball this past week. As always, Inside Eagle Nation is presented by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your premier septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. So we dive into everything Georgia Southern athletics-wise over the past week. It starts with Georgia Southern men's golf took second at the Schenkel Invitational over at the Forest Heights Country Club. Huge congratulations going out to Carter Collins and company. Only got beat out by NC State, who is a top 25 program in the country. A lot of really good competition over at Forest Heights this weekend, and it was a little bit of, I'm not going to say inclement weather on Sunday, but not pleasant weather on Sunday.
They had to weather the weather.
They for sure did. But they took second from the Schenkel Invitational. They have a couple of weeks off until the Mountaineer Invitational up in West Virginia, April 12th through the 13th, that Monday and Tuesday.
All 12 teams that were here last weekend were inside the nation's top 100. And you know that the Eagles are always fired up, and you know that that roster has continued to get better. Look, I know Stephen Fisk isn't here anymore. He's playing professionally, but that roster is still very deep. Jake Maples, Brett Barron played well. Colin Bowles, they were good all weekend long. And you want to make sure you represent in the tournament that you host, and especially when last year's was called off the day before everybody was supposed to make their way to Statesboro. Great to get it back out and going, and even better to see how well the Eagles did.
Got a couple of comments on Facebook Live already. You're a fan favorite, apparently.
It must be it's either the shirt or the beard, or neither.
Chaz Williams said, Mr. Danny Reed.
Chaz, what's up, man?
A lot of heart, thumbs up, 100%ers. And Glenn Ingram wants to know if you've been in the weight room.
Actually, not in a while.
Ah, well.
The overlap season is kicking my butt. So I'm hoping after these next few games can get back into a routine that will be a little bit better. Was for a while, but the basketball baseball is always tougher than the football basketball. We've talked about that a number of times. I think part of it is because we're deeper into the year, and it's the cumulative effect of everything that we do from that first football coaches show in August or 1st of September, whatever it ends up being, until now, almost at the end of March already. And this being the COVID year, didn't know if we'd get to make it to the end of August. And now we're almost at the end of March.
Yeah, you and I talked about it. I don't think we've brought it up on air in any way, shape, or form yet, though. But you're starting to grow out the beard. I know you had the COVID beard back in quarantine, but...
Yeah, there was one comment that one of our brethren made that I got rid of it. I had it for almost 3 months.
Was it Josh Sowers?
Close.
Because he has no way to talk.
No, that's why he doesn't say a word when it comes to facial hair or any kind of hair on the head or face or anything. But Jay Walker, God love him.
That'd be my next guess.
He said, "Oh, look, Peter Dinklage," and that was enough. It all came off the next day. I'd never let a beard go that long. I'm not typically a facial hair person, but get into the mood every now and then, and I'm seeing some whites and some grays poking out, and not real happy about that, but it's a little salt and pepper never hurt anybody.
It'll be fine. Women's golf was out in Arizona for the Red Rocks Invitational. They tied for 9th out of 19 teams. Next Monday and Tuesday, they will head to Chattanooga to take part in the Chattanooga Classic at the Black Creek Country Club. Georgia Southern men's tennis started on Friday as they got the victory 7-0 at the Citadel. But because of weather, the match against Wofford on Sunday, that one was canceled over at the Wallace Tennis Center. Starting today, they will host South Carolina State at 11:30 over at the Wallace Tennis Center. And then Friday, they head to Atlanta to take on Georgia State, a 2 p.m. first serve on Friday. Then they'll stay in the metro Atlanta area to face Kennesaw State on Sunday at noon. Georgia Southern women's tennis went 2-1 this week. Started last week on Wednesday as they swept Savannah State down in Savannah 7-0. Stepped back into conference play on Saturday and fell to the South Alabama Jaguars over in Mobile 7-0. Then they made the trip up to Troy, because they took on Troy and defeated the Trojans 4-3 on Sunday, but got to catch the tail end of the Saturday baseball game out at Riddle Pace Field.
Thankfully, 50% attendance at Riddle Pace allowed them to come in and sit comfortably.
I remember looking down in about the fourth or fifth inning, and I see Sean McCaffrey walking by. I was like, man, that guy looks a lot like Sean. And then I started thinking, wait, they are here this weekend.
He loves Eagle baseball.
He loves everything Eagle athletics. I'm convinced. You know they've got the points on the Gata app?
Yeah.
If he checks in every time he goes to an event, he's got to be by and large ahead of everybody.
Well, that makes me think before the shutdown and before all the protocols and limited attendance, he was at everything we were at.
Yeah.
And I think that he's been able to get to as much as he can with all the limitations and everything else that's happened since we got going in August, but...
And for him, he was one that was affected pretty greatly by COVID.
Yeah.
We've talked to him before on Blue White Weekly.
That's
how
right.
He was in the hospital for a good while with COVID, and it hit him pretty hard and still trying to recover even now. But crazy to think how dedicated he is to Eagle Athletics.
He's a Georgia Southern man.
Better believe it. Need to get him one of those shirts that football has.
I would hope that that wouldn't be much of a problem.
Georgia Southern women's tennis will stay in their own beds this weekend with 3 matches at home. Wednesday against Mercer, 1 p.m. the first serve. Then Saturday against Coastal Carolina, 10 a.m. the first serve. Then they'll do it again on Sunday, 10 a.m. against Appalachian State. Georgia Southern women's soccer will wrap up the spring season on Saturday at Ole Miss. It'll be a 2 o'clock kickoff on the SEC Network Plus. Georgia Southern softball, whoever is keeping their schedule, whichever assistant takes care of the schedule, I don't envy their job. They've had schedule changes aplenty the last couple of days. They will now, because they were shut down this, not this past weekend, but the weekend prior against Louisiana, we talked about it last week, they are going to make up those Sunbelt games against the Raging Cajuns this coming Sunday and Monday down in Acadiana. It'll be a single game on Sunday, a doubleheader on Monday. Then to accommodate that series, Georgia Southern was supposed to be down at FIU this weekend, a doubleheader Friday, a single game Saturday. That one is now just a doubleheader on Friday. That single game on Saturday has been canceled just to make room for that series. And again, they'll still play the doubleheader on Friday against FIU. Then also the game on Wednesday that was supposed to be at number 19 Georgia has been postponed to a later date, and the later date will be announced in the next couple of weeks. Whew. That's a lot to put in one press release. Kudos to Chad Jackson.
The musical chairs of COVID scheduling. Unfortunate when it has to pop up, but you also get to feng shui the schedule as much as you can to hopefully get them all in. Maybe it looks good, maybe it feels good, but the fact that you can play them is the operative thing.
But this past weekend, they got two in against Monroe. It was supposed to be a three-game series, but the Sunday single game initially got moved back to 1:30. Then it got moved back to 11 a.m. on Monday.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the field was too wet. Too much rain had hit the Statesboro area that weekend. And so the Sunday game had to be canceled. Did get swept by Monroe 5-3 on Saturday, and then 11-9 on Saturday in the second game. That one took eight innings, and it was a crazy ending. But 0-2 on the weekend for Georgia Southern softball. They will look ahead to a busy week coming up. Again, the doubleheader on Friday against FIU that starts at 3 o'clock over at Eagle Field in Statesboro. And then the Eagles will hit the road on Sunday, a single game against the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana, a 5 p.m. first pitch Eastern time. And then on Monday, 5 p.m. Eastern against number 14 Louisiana in a doubleheader.
I can see Eagle Field through the pines out beyond the left field wall here at Clemson.
I could see you out of the corner of my eye, and I was trying to figure out what you were trying to do.
Well, one thing on the field, Jason Richmond's throwing with one of the Georgia Southern pitchers in advance of tonight's trip to North Augusta to take on Clemson, but I looked out toward the trees. The field actually looks in pretty good shape over at softball, so I'm hoping that the rain that fell has done its thing and now we can get back to normal.
Perfect. With this week's edition of Eagle Tales, since tonight we are going to SRP Park, the home of the Augusta Green Jackets, like we talked about earlier, now a single-A affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. They've been a longtime affiliate of the San Francisco Giants for many years. You've called a lot of games in Augusta in minor league baseball.
Just a few.
That's back when they were at Lake Homestead Stadium.
They sure were.
And we've just got to get a couple of your best minor league baseball stories. Now, I didn't prep him for this.
Just from Augusta?
Not necessarily just from Augusta. I know you have one good Augusta one.
I've got several Augusta ones just because we played probably 40 games there. I've seen a lot of games at Lake Homestead Stadium.
We just need a couple good minor league stories. Your best.
All right. Let me stick to Augusta just because that would tie in the most. I mean, the really good ones, we may have to go after hours. But for Augusta, the first time we ever went there, Lake Olmsted Stadium is more on the outside of town. The benefit of where we're going is right on the Savannah River, beautiful area where Georgia becomes South Carolina and vice versa. They had advocated for a stadium for years because as part of it, they were adjacent to a frisbee golf course.
That's right.
The first time I went there, which would have been 2009, when we pull in, I see this really nice park, and then I see these strategically placed garbage cans. I wonder, okay, why are all these garbage cans set up near these trees, and why do they all have numbers sticking out of them? It took me a year to realize. Someone said, it's a frisbee golf course. And I said, what? And they said, yeah, it's a frisbee golf course. So it stretched all about up and down right outside Lake Homestead Stadium. And at that point, I had no idea frisbee golf was even a thing. I just kept looking at these trash cans. Okay, there's no bags in there, so that was a little bit weird. But not really a story, but just an observation.
Did you go play?
No. I had more than enough trouble doing what I was trying to do. One story, in 2011, we had a four-game series, and right before we had gotten there, Eric Little, who's a good friend of mine, former voice of the Green Jackets, their radio station got hit by lightning and lost their transmitter. So they were down.
Ooh, that's not fun.
For the entire series. So he didn't have a broadcast. So he asked me if he could come on. I said, why don't we just trade off? Middle innings, you do Augusta. Start and finish. I'll do Charleston. And one of my best friends from my time back in the South Atlantic League. So we made it work. It was a little bit different, but you weren't going to get it very often where I could provide River Dogs fans with what was going on with their team. But at the same time, if we had Green Jackets fans tuning in, because at that point they hadn't gone to internet only yet. They still had the radio deal. They could come over and listen to Eric talk about them, and at the same time, the fans could learn about each of the other's teams, which was pretty interesting, pretty unique. We ended up pulling off, I think that was a split series. It was a 15-14 game or a 14-13 game in there that took about – it was a nine-inning game, and it took about 4 days. So that may have been the entire series itself, but pulling that off was I think, a feather in the cap. And then twice in 2010, the sprinklers went off during a game.
At Olmstead?
We were there in April, sixth inning, and all of a sudden, sprinklers just go off, middle of an inning. You could see the groundskeeper pop out of the first base dugout, sprint, dead sprint behind home plate to the other side of the field, try to find where the nozzles were set up to turn that off and get the game going. We're there in August. It happened again.
They just didn't like you.
And I remember thinking, okay, I heard lightning strike twice. I've never heard of that happen twice. Or the best one, 2009, we're there for a day game. And Lake Olmstead Stadium's press box is open air. And there's no bathroom. You got to go to the concourse to relieve yourself. I had a lot of water before the game. I mean, not really different from what I do now. But by the time we got to the seventh inning stretch, I made a decision that something needed to happen. So as soon as they started, I sprinted down to the concourse, took care of it, came back up right before the inning started. We were internet only that day, so I could start and stop the broadcast whenever I wanted to. Our radio deal stipulated that some of the games were just going to be on RiverDogs.com. I don't think I spoke the first four pitches of the inning because I couldn't get my breath. And Augusta definitely won that. I think there might have been an inside the park home run that game. Former Coastal Carolina Chanticleer, Dom Duggan, hit one off the top of the left field wall, bounced back in. He was fast as could be. He ended up rounding for an inside-the-park home run. That was after I'd come back up. But, yeah, I definitely missed the first couple of pitches at the bottom of the seventh because I had no wind in my lungs. That's just Augusta. But, yeah, I've a lot of games at Lake Olmstead Stadium. It was one of the newer stadiums in the league. When I was in the South Atlantic League, granted that name's not being used now. They're trying to rebrand the leagues. I think Augusta plays in now the Low A East. It's with Major League Baseball taking over. You've got the three Low A leagues. And it was always hot in the summer, and that was actually the hottest I'd ever been. Savannah was close, but you've got the enclosed press box at Historic Grayson, which we've been to call the College of Charleston midweek game a couple of years back, but that was the hottest I'd ever been during a game.
And it's funny, you and I probably have seen a number of the same games and never knew it before we even thought about knowing each other.
Yeah.
With River Dogs games that you called, because my cousin, Fran Faulkner at the time, Fran Marshall now, she worked for the Augusta Green Jackets when they were still at Lake Olmstead Stadium. That's in the right. Marketing department. And then she ended up marrying Brian Marshall, who had a lot of different titles with the Green Jackets and eventually became the assistant general manager. They're actually still in Augusta. They don't work for the Green Jackets anymore, but you knew them from their time in Augusta. And then when we connected here, we're like, hey, you know them. It's crazy. And we talk about it a lot, the 6 degrees, especially in baseball. Everybody knows everybody.
You just got to find out how you know everybody.
Right. It's just a matter of how.
The last thing I remember about Augusta was their interns and their marketing people, because you know, the Green Jackets, for a reason, Augusta National is on the way to the ballpark from where the hotel is. You can't see in because the tree line, and you can barely look in and see some of the flowers, but that's it as you're going in the main passageway. They would dress up in the white jumpsuits with their name on the back.
Yeah, the caddy suit.
Like a caddy suit. And they could never be at home when the Masters were in town. Just no. Impossible. Every hotel for 100 miles is booked, so they were always on the road for at least 4, probably 8. But, yeah, every time we were there, the assistants would walk around in the caddy jumpsuits.
We dive back into Georgia Southern baseball. I was supposed to have a 4-game week last week all on the road. It was supposed to start at Georgia Tech last Wednesday, but because of weather up in the Atlanta area, that one was postponed. And then Georgia Southern opened up Sun Belt Conference play over in Troy, Alabama. Thursday night, we got to go to Mossy Groves Schoolhouse.
My God, you got it.
I got it. I put it on my notes.
Tell Reasoner that.
Yeah, right. Got to go to Mossy Grove. Sylvia took great care of us, as always. One of the best home-cooked meals, I'd say home-cooked. They could have frozen it and not told us, but it tasted home-cooked.
She remembered us.
Yeah.
Well, first you thought we were the umpires.
Yeah, because Eric had a black Adidas jacket on. She's like, are you the officials?
But then she realized that all of us had Georgia Southern stuff on. She's probably like, wouldn't be the
you're
umpires.
The one that talks like Mr. Barry. Yep, that's him. So you had to talk like Barry for a little while, but.
Yeah.
Sylvia took good care of us. And then Friday, Georgia Southern took care of Troy, 8-1, a final score. It was a really good start by Tyler Owens. Finishing up the game was Jordan Jackson coming out of the bullpen. And both of them probably looked the best that they have this year.
And it made you appreciate how good they were even more, considering how well Troy swung the bats the final two games of the series. We'll get to that in a moment. T.O. continued his mastery over Troy. We were wondering how we would be 2 years after those two starts he had during 2019. Carved him up again. And then Jordan, he had the confidence back, the swagger back, the movement was back on his fastball. The slider had really nice in-and-out bend against those right-handers. Now, he had to get out of a couple of jams. He left the bases loaded in the ninth inning, but having the confidence to be himself and throw his pitches the way that he did got the series off to the start that it needed. It just was unfortunate that it wasn't sustained.
Georgia Southern would then fall to Troy 11-8 on Saturday, 8-4 on Sunday. And it was really when the Troy bats woke up. You and I talked about it a lot on Friday. This is a pretty good lineup for Troy. You look at guys like Drew Frederick, Logan Cerny, Rigsby Mosley, guys that you've heard about for the last couple of years for this Trojan team, and really can swing the bat.
Had that five-run first inning on Saturday, and granted, the Eagles kept fighting, kept going. They about caught up after a Noah Ledford home run, and we said that a lot last week. He's gone deep five times in five games. He hit two in that game on Saturday, both towering shots to right center field, ultimately, though, falling 11-8, meaning that that first inning was literally the difference, and specifically those three two-out runs that Troy scored in the first inning. And then getting to Sunday, the offense was active early. It's just the fact that when the ball was carrying, it benefited Troy more. And then later in the game, where it felt like Georgia Southern had a couple of shots that could have left, Matt Anderson's died on the warning track in left center, and somehow Austin Thompson's died at the fence in left, which would have been a three-run home run. And unfortunately, the Eagles fell 8-4 to drop the series.
It's something we talked about with Coach Hinnan after the game on Saturday, and you touched on it how Georgia Southern would put two up in the top half, and then two different times Troy answered in the bottom half with two of their own. Another time Georgia Southern put up two in the top half, Troy answered with one in the bottom half. Just couldn't get that shutdown inning. But we talked about it with Coach Hinnan after the game. It's so difficult to, when you start to get momentum, have it taken back by Troy to keep the energy up. But Georgia Southern really did it all weekend.
You get to a point where it doesn't matter what I do, it's not going to work. It's one of those quicksand kind of weekends where the harder you fight, the worse it gets. And even though McWhorter is still white hot, Ledford showing his power, Avant continues to swing it. J.P. Tighe had a really nice game on Saturday offensively, found the barrel a couple of times. Jared Brown is really coming through. He was on base four times just by walk. He had a couple of doubles. Stephen Curry had three hits on Sunday. I think the early season slump he has mired his way out of. But it didn't seem to matter what Georgia Southern did. Troy had something to respond to it. I still think Georgia Southern's the better team overall, but I think it's fairly close because of the way that Troy can swing the bats. But what won them the game on Sunday was after Georgia Southern took that 2-1 lead with those two runs in the top of the second, Troy came right back, got two, then got two more, then kept expanding and expanding. And while Georgia Southern had chances to do the same, they had five double plays in the series. They've kept their strikeouts down, which has been really encouraging. I mean, you put the ball in play a lot, eventually somebody's going to boot it. And yeah, Drew Frederick had three errors over the weekend, but I give a lot of credit to a guy who was just into the starting lineup for the first time all year in Jesse Hall, their third baseman. He made four or five just super plays that it was, all right, did what you could.
Yeah, I mean, he's somebody that we talked about. This was really his first weekend in the starting role.
Yeah.
Between him and Donovan Wibbs both at second base, they had had a couple of guys for Troy had defensive miscues or weren't necessarily firing on all cylinders. You put a guy like Jesse Hall in, which kind of felt like it was going to be, okay, you start Friday, and then you put the normal guy back in on Saturday.
Yeah.
And both Wibbs and Jesse Hall made it to the point where Mark Smart couldn't just put the normal guy back in because they were producing as well as they were.
And with the top five guys in the order all weekend long hitting the way that they were, they didn't need Hall and Wibbs to hit. Now, Hall did. Hall drove in two runs. He had four hits over the weekend. But the fact that they were playing defense like they were, that's why you stay in the lineup.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
It's like we talk about a lot with different guys for Georgia Southern, taking advantage of the opportunity you're given. And nobody really knows how many opportunities you're going to be given, especially with the expanded rosters this year.
Yeah.
And so taking advantage of that opportunity and doing what you've got to do to stay in the lineup, and both of those guys really did. I was really impressed with both of them this weekend.
And for Georgia Southern, it feels like Jarrett Brown has locked down third base.
Yeah.
It would seem he has started nine consecutive games. He's starting to show a little bit of juice. He's walking. Sammy Blancato stepping in center field the last two games of the series when Beatier went down. There's no indication of whether or not Parker is going to be available tonight against Clemson. We'll find out that from Rodney Hennon here in just a little bit when we talked to him in advance of the trip. But Sammy, it's his first career home run. He also adds a triple. I know he got caught in the rundown that kind of seized a little bit of momentum on Sunday, but the fact that he could step in and start back-to-back games for somebody like Beatier, who has been just awesome in every way the last few weeks, it's nice to know that Georgia Southern has that kind of quality depth.
But Georgia Southern will look ahead. Again, four games this week. First one starts at North Augusta, South Carolina at SRP Park on Tuesday tonight, 6:30, the first pitch. We going on the air at 6 o'clock against the Clemson Tigers. And this is a Clemson team a little bit difficult to get a read on them. They can really pitch, especially out of the bullpen, have struggled a little bit at the plate for Clemson. But this is a team that has had some struggles early in the year, just one game below 500 as they come in tonight at 8-9. But this is a team that took two out of three from the 13th-ranked team in the country this past weekend.
That's after a six-game losing streak.
Right.
They've won three of their last four, one of those against Georgia State, first ever meeting as they went up to Doug Kingsmore Stadium and I think beat them 8-2. But to take two of three from Vautech, look, I know it's at home, and I know Doug Kingsmore has a rep of being a little bit of a wind tunnel, very short alleys. The wind almost always blows out, so Clemson is typically among the national leaders in offense. But for a team that's only hitting 232, they've needed that bullpen.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if head coach Monty Lee, pitching coach Andrew C, that they've gone to that idea of openers, not for the sense of, okay, this is what the Tampa Bay Rays have done for a couple of years, this is what some other teams have tried. They're not doing it because they want to do it. Their starters just haven't been effective, and they've had some injuries. They have a preseason first-team All-American, Davis Sharp, who's been their Friday guy and their DH, but he's been really ineffective the first couple of weeks of the season. He's actually out right now because of injury. Caden Grice is a true freshman who has enormous power. He has become the everyday guy at first. He leads them with five home runs. It's a tough team, but they have to get creative as to how they're going to beat you because they do strike out a lot, but they also hit quite a few home runs. But if they have a lead late, that bullpen's not giving it up. That bullpen's been really good.
Yeah, it really has. And you look at the guy that's starting on the mound for Clemson tonight, and Carter Raffield, and he's a guy that had two Sunday starts, so he is quote-unquote weekend rotation material for this Clemson team. But just because some of the struggles he's had the last couple of weeks, they move him back to the weekend or to the midweek.
He made his first start in the midweek against East Tennessee State. It was the best outing of his career. He's a second-year freshman. Technically, he'd be a third-year freshman. But he went four innings, gave up one run, struck out eight. So they moved him to the weekend. Decent game against Notre Dame, but only went 2 2/3. And then he goes against North Carolina trying to salvage the final game of that series, in which they ultimately got swept at Bosmer Stadium. Goes 2/3 of an inning, five hits, four runs. So back to the midweek. And look, the stuff's really good. I think he could pitch in the major leagues right now.
Yes.
He's 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery, so the elbow ligament is a little bit stronger. But the inconsistency is what he's dealing with. But the stuff, he's got big league ready stuff. He's 94-96 with his fastball, generates a lot of heavy movement with it. Slider is a developmental pitch. He'll throw the curveball a little bit more. The changeup, though, that's his best secondary. And I don't anticipate him going much more than three or four just because he hasn't in his career and because Clemson has such a good bullpen where they can stretch guys out for multiple innings. Jeffrey Gilbert has been really good this year. Matt Clark has 20 strikeouts and no walks. He's been phenomenal so far. So I think that ideally they'd want 9 to 12 outs out of him and then see what they've got out of their fireman.
Just to give you a little bit of a glimpse of how good this bullpen is, 94 innings pitched. They've got 105 strikeouts in their bullpen, just 25 walks. You're going to have to earn everything you get from this Clemson team, especially the bullpen.
You could almost mirror it to what Georgia Southern's bullpen has done, yeah, because the starting ERA is north of 6, but the bullpen ERA for the Eagles is south of 3.50. Nick Jones, a big reason why. He goes 3 2/3 over the weekend. Kurai, 7 strikeouts. That's one of the best I've ever seen Bones throw. He was fastball. His curveball was maybe the best it has looked in his 4 years here. I would think if you could get a lead late, whatever bullpen can be effective is going to take this. But offensively, it should be in Georgia Southern's favor, considering they're hitting .317 as a team, and they continue to add double-digit hits after double-digit hits after double-digit hits. They just need to find a way to not strand so many on base. That's what hurt them the final two games against Troy, because that was a series they probably should have won. But the fact that you get 21 more chances in conference play and you get chances like this against an ACC team, how good are you? And then how good will you be this weekend against Appalachian State when they come to Statesboro?
It's an Appalachian State team that sits right now at 10-8 overall. Got the sweep in their first conference weekend against an Arkansas State team that's really struggling to start the season. They will have a midweek game at Charlotte tonight, a 6 p.m. first pitch against the 49ers before they head down to Statesboro. But it's a App State team, again, 10-8, just like Georgia Southern, swept the first conference weekend. And kind of similar as far as numbers are concerned, haven't hit quite as well as Georgia Southern has. You've got guys like Luke Drumheller, we've seen him for the last couple of years in Boone, hitting over .340 on the season. But the pitching has kind of, outside of the starters, it's almost a mirror of what you see from Clemson, except for the opposite. The starters have done well for Appalachian State. Yeah. The bullpen has not.
Yeah, Tut Hill's moved to that Friday role. He's one of those guys that have the mentality for App State was they're going to pitch as quickly as they can so you don't get settled. I remember that series in 2019 where they were in position to probably do more than they ultimately did because of how good their starting pitching was. They don't waste a whole lot of time. It's throw, ball, throw, ball, throw. There's no wasted movement. They're trying to get their tempo going to get you off of being relaxed at the plate. And Tuthill's been very good since moving to the Friday role. Kornatzer's been solid out of the bullpen. But for them, it seems that their defense lets them down more than anything else. And I know they've got McGowan back. You mentioned Drumheller. It seems like Alex Layshock has been there for about 15 years, kind of like Taylor Lamb was playing quarterback, or Zach Thomas just the last couple years. I know that they are not good in Statesboro, Eagles sweeping them here in 2018. And that was the series that you remember got moved here because of snow up in Boone. Eagles are more than happy to take those three, and they end up winning all three as part of that 30-win season.
It's an App State team that has won their last four. We mentioned an Arkansas State team that has struggled. They got the midweek victory over North Carolina A&T to win their last four. But prior to that, got swept at UNC Wilmington, got swept at East Carolina, so had lost their previous six before winning the last four.
And UNC Wilmington is a team that's probably going to win the Colonial this year. We've already seen East Carolina taking a game here in Statesboro. It's strange to try to adapt what is a football rivalry to other sports, because we've talked with, over the years, we've talked to Rodney, talked to Mark Bynes, talked to Brian Berg about what does the App State rivalry mean. It's not that it doesn't have the same sizzle as football, but that's not where it generated in the first place. Football is what drives the Eagles and the Mountaineers. You know they're going to meet at the end of the season again, how well that was received last year during the COVID year to get it bumped to the end of the season. Baseball, it has a tendency to get a little bit chippy. And I think that's because App, for a number of years, look, they haven't been very good.
Yeah,
that's not talking smack on them. They haven't been very good. They've gotten Georgia Southern a couple of times, but primarily it's been the Eagles controlling this rivalry. I think Kermit Smith finally has them to a point where they could make a move in the East, but the East has Georgia Southern, Coastal, South, Troy. It's going to be tough for App State to ascend right now. Granted, if they continue to pitch like they do, then you play a little bit more defense. Nothing's impossible, especially this year where you don't know who you're going to have in a given weekend, still dealing with COVID.
Starts tonight, 6:30, the first pitch against the Clemson Tigers. We're on the air at 6 o'clock from SRP Park in North Augusta. That one sold out at SRP. This weekend, Friday, 6:30, the first pitch against Appalachian State. Saturday at 2, and then Sunday, having to bump the time up to accommodate Appalachian State travel. It'll be a 12 noon first pitch on Sunday.
We've got Bark at the Park again on Saturday. We've got Sunday Fun Day. So if you haven't had a chance to see the Eagles this year, knock on wood, weather will be good this weekend. And App State seems to bring people out.
Giving away the third set, I believe,
on
of
Friday.
The trading cards.
That's right.
I keep waiting for somebody to say, I'll give you two Dolanders for a Jordan Jackson.
Well, these are bigger cards. These aren't the typical, you put them in a plastic folder and put them in a binder like when you were a young whippersnapper.
When I was a kid, I used to take the cards and tape them up to my wall and have it arranged by team. I know this is all a shock to you. Had them arranged by team, and if somebody got traded, I would take his card from here and put him on there.
How'd you tape them up there? You didn't ruin the cards, did you?
No, I had – there was this yellow tacky stuff that you would put.
Okay, I'm with you. I got you.
You know what I'm talking about? I don't know what to call it.
Because I haven't seen it outside of school.
Right.
Every classroom has it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
On the wall. I got you.
Yellow tacky stuff. You put a little bit on the back of the card. There it is.
I'm looking forward to this. Have not been to this ballpark. For all the games I've called in and around Augusta, having not seen SRP, it's always nice to get to a new park, cross it off the list, and be even better to see if Georgia Southern can get back on track.
Absolutely beautiful park in SRP Park in North Augusta. Opened up in 2018. First year it was opened, it was the Ballpark Digest Ballpark of the Year. So it's a beautiful facility for the Augusta Green Jackets, now an affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Again, we talked about it earlier, how a longtime affiliate of the San Francisco Giants. But we'll do it tonight, 6:30, the first pitch. We're on the air at 6 o'clock from North Augusta, South Carolina. For the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.